reading from the Vishvambhagavatam, first canto, 15th chapter, 47 and 48, entitled The Pandavas Retire Timely. So 47 has no purport, 48 does, so I'll read just the words in the worship. She 47's on the board, so I'll do. Has no purport, so I'll do 48. So 47 is on the board now. 48, so I'll do 47 and 48 together, because they're both linked. So I read the other verse. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhattavan, that's one of Prabhupada, Srila Pandacharya Viscon, Ki Jai. Thus, by pure consciousness due to constant devotional remembrance, they attain the spiritual sky, which is ruled over by the Supreme Narayan, Lord Krishna. This is attained only by those who meditate upon the one Supreme Lord without deviation. This abode of Lord Sri Krishna, known as Goloka Vrindavan, cannot be attained by persons who are absorbed in material conception of life, in the material conception of life. But the Pandavas, being completely washed of all material contamination, attained that abode in their very same bodies. Purport. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, a person freed from the three modes of material qualities, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance, and situated in transcendence, can reach the highest perfection of life without a change of body. Srila Sanatana Goswami, in his Hari Bhakti Vilas, says that a person, whatever he may be, can attain the perfection of a twice-born Brahmana by undergoing the spiritual disciplinary actions under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. Actually, as a chemist can turn gun metal into gold by chemical manipulation, it is therefore the actual guidance that matters in the process of becoming a Brahmana, even without a change of body, or going back to Godhead, or in going back to Godhead without a change of body. Srila Jiva Goswami remarks that the word he used in this connection possibly affirms this truth, and there is no doubt about the factual position. The Bhagavad Gita 14:26 also confirms this. This statement of Srila Jiva Goswami says, when the Lord says that anyone who executes devotional service systematically without deviation can attain the perfection of Brahman without by surpassing the contamination of the three modes of material nature. And when the Brahman perfection is still more advanced by the self-same execution of devotional service, there is no doubt that all that one can attain the supreme spiritual planet Goloka Vrindavan without a change of body. So we already discussed in connection with the Lord's returning to his abode without a change of body. Om Gyanarandasya Ganaslagaya Dashumina Dasmai Sri Gauri Namaha Shivati Trumaraj Govinda Maharaj. So this purport is about, obviously, bhakti, yoga or devotional service. Now, this in another purport, in the for 10th canto, 3rd chapter, text 31, the birth of Lord Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, he writes a wonderful purport, of course, but it's at the bottom. Srila Prabhupada writes, Bhakti, Bhagavan, and Bhakta do not belong to the material world. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 14:26, the same verse that I read in the purport I read today, which is Mamcha Yovajalatraina Bhakti Yogena Savrate. Sagunam samanyatya yatan brahma bhayo dilakalpate. So also on a commentary, Vishnath Chakravarti's commentary on the 10th canto on this verse, also this purport is virtually, no, it's not word for word, this purport is virtually the same as Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur's purport. And so Srila Prabhupada says here, Bhakti, Bhagavan, and Bhakta do not belong to the material world. So we have to understand what bhakti is, or bhakti yoga. So in the purport to 14:26, Srila Prabhupada, he writes, to be in Krishna consciousness or in devotional service means to acquire equality with Krishna. That's a deep line. Equality with Krishna. Now, the example given, we know there's five primary rasas. So one is a friend. So this is just an example. So there's two kinds of friendship. One is sambrama sakya, friendship in awe and reverence. That means that's including Sugriva and all the friends of Lord Ram in his pastimes. In other words, in awe and reverence. Vishrambara Sakya, this is pure friendship with no awe and reverence. This is referring, of course, to the gopas in Vrindavan. Because when Krishna would go out with the cowherd boys, they would wrestle, have tug of war. And whoever lost a tug of war or the wrestling match, they had to carry Krishna to the Jamuna. Now, that is pure friendship. That's when that's the equality that Prabhupada is talking about in that purport. Generally, when we think about equality with Krishna, we're generally thinking that that's Mayavadi's. That's the one side is Mayavadi, but one side is Mayavadi philosophy, because they want to be one with Krishna. But in this Vishram Sakya, pure friendship, this is when they can serve Krishna personally, as playing with devotional, their devotional service is actually playing with Krishna, and also with the other rasas, Vasalya, so on, and that, Dasya, so on. So what does that mean, Bhakti, Bhagavan, and Bhakta do not belong to the material world? First, we have to understand that the jiva, the material world is the Bahangaram Shakti, is the Maya Shakti, the external Shakti or Maya Shakti. So there's no bhakti in the external energy. This is what I call a vritti. A vritti means the natural facility or occupation of what it is. So the vritti of the external world is not bhakti. And also the tatastha sakti jiva, the facility is also, there's no bhakti in the tatastha sakti jiva, no bhakti at all, because Jiva Goswami, he explains in in his Bhakti Sandhava, Uchayacha Chela 1:1, Paramatma Bhai Bhav Gane Tattva, Tasasa Shakti Rupan Jid Eka Rasaman Api. Tatasa Shakti Shiva Jivas are the Bhai Bhav emanations of the Paramatma. So the word Bhai Bhav means wealth, glory, opulence, or a partial potent expansion of the Lord. So the Tata Shakti Jiva is a partial potent expansion of the Lord in the form of the Paramatma. And so therefore, it is not bhakti. It is not a vritti of bhakti. But then this, what is left is the internal shakti, antaranga shakti, which the vritti is, as I said, natural facilitated occupation is bhakti. Because now there's a special word, in one book I was reading the other day, this is one word, paranama, which means transformation or manifestation. So this word indicates that the bhakti belongs to the internal potency or the Sarup Shakti and manifests the spiritual world. So in other words, the internal potency manifests the spiritual world. So that's where bhakti belongs to in the spiritual world. So whatever bhakti, so what hope is there for us in this material world? This hope, actually, there is some hope for us, because in one book, I think Bhakti Vivek by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it's four essays on Bhakti Yoga. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that many devotees think they are performing bhakti. They are not. They are performing bhakti abhas. Abhas means shadow bhakti. It's not real bhakti. Real bhakti belongs to Sudasattva. And so therefore, but there is hope, because in the spiritual world, there are many variations, and in the variations of service, just like the gopas do, they serve Krishna. The ones in Visalya Ras, so on and so on, they serve Krishna. But also, their service is also, it says in this purport, 1426. So therefore, bhakti yoga, that means there is some interaction between Krishna and that particular devotee. So Prabhupada writes about this. The difference of individuality continues. Otherwise, there is no question of bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga means the Lord is there, the devotee is there, and the activity of exchange of love between the Lord and the devotee is there. Therefore, the individuality of two persons is present in the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the individual person. Otherwise, there is no other meaning to bhakti yoga. So bhakti yoga, devotional service, means that there has to be some relationship, some interaction between the devotee. Just like, as I said, that the second class, the second, the Vishrambra Sakya, they are performing their natural facility or occupation with Krishna in the spiritual world. So there is hope. So where is the hope for us? Because we're stuck in this material world. We're coming to a morning program. We're chanting 16 rounds, Mangalati, doing services, so on and like this. So this is where the third part of the bhakti yoga and bhakta comes into play, because the bhakta, who means he's a pure devotee, descends to this material world. He voluntarily comes or Krishna sends him. And by taking that pure devotee's sadhu sangha, when he speaks on devotional service, when he speaks about Krishna, Krishna is he's giving instructions how we can develop bhakti in this material world. Pure bhakti means not a bhakti abhas, but sudha bhakti, which is the goal, which is the perfection attained in this, which is the perfection of this life. Because in this, because this pure devotee who descends voluntarily or Krishna requests, he speaks about Krishna so he can attract the conditioned soul out of this material world. Because there's two ways that Krishna attracts in this material world. Two ways. The holy name and by the acharya. Because the acharya, he speaks pure Hari Gita. And that attracts the conditioned soul from the material conditional life to the spiritual platform. So this is how we can develop bhakti, by listening to a pure living person, the pure devotee. We get attracted to Krishna and to his pastimes. So therefore, it's important when we have the chance to listen to or hear from a pure devotee, and with concentrated attention, listen what he is saying. Because there's three things that are very potent in this. There's three things that are very potent that come from the spiritual, that we take from the spiritual master. His foot water the dust, the foot water, and his Mahabishad. Now externally, when the spiritual master comes, we wash his feet, and then, take the dust, wash his feet, and then if he gives his remnants, that we take. But as I explained the other day, the acharyas also explain that internally it means taking the dust means, so this, the example is given that one is doing the Braj Mandal Parakram or the Navadvip Mandal Parakram, and the spiritual master is at the front, and his disciples and followers are behind. So if you've ever been on the Navadvip Mandal Parakram, some parts are on the road, some parts is just dust road, dirt road, dust. And there's, so one time when I was the one on there, we're walking from Shravanabahar to Nisringapalli, which is all dirt road, and there's thousands of devotees walking that path. And if you're at the back, the more people are walking, the dust is coming up. First, the dust of the spiritual master, then that dust, they're never devotees, but the dust of the spiritual master, then that dust from that spiritual master, if you're right at the back, you're automatically taking the dust of the spiritual master. And by the foot water, you generally we drink, don't we, afterwards, a little sip externally. But internally it means that we are drinking what that sadhu or spiritual master is saying. We're not drinking through the mouth, no, we're drinking through the ears. And then the Mahabishad is, or the remnants, is his mercy. So this is how the potency of the spiritual master, those three things, the worship of the spiritual master, internally, how they are potent. So we just, so when we get the dust, that means, the dust means following the instructions that's coming from him, and it goes back to the disciples by hearing from that spiritual master, by hearing or drinking through the ears and goes into the heart. And then the Mahabishad is his mercy. So that is how we can develop bhakti in this life. So whatever the spiritual master says, we have to do without any doubt, we do immediately. Even though we may think sometimes that whatever he says is impossible for us to do. But sometimes this could be a test from the spiritual master. And to test to see how sincere we are. Like one time, Bhakti Sri Maharaj, one time, he wanted some fruit, I think it was a mango or some other fruit. And then his servant, this was in Mayapur, I think this is Srivas, I don't know if you can remember him. He said, Srivas, he said, I want some, I think it was lychees. So he said, Srivas, give me some lychees. So then Srivas, he went down to the, if you know Mayapur, he went down to those shops at the front, and there's two grocery stores down there, and they both ran out of lychees, both of them, because they were both in demand. And he's thinking, oh, my Guru Maharaj, he wants lychees. It's impossible. So then he is thinking, I'll go back and tell him. I'll tell him that there's no lychees. But said, no, Guru Maharaj wants lychees. So then he went to the grass area and he said, my Guru Dev, he wants some lychees. Please, can you give? And the householder, he said, yes, take. So then he got his lychees. So this is a first class disciple. He will unflinchingly follow what the guru wants. So this is then we do that. Then we get the mercy of the spiritual master. Then we can develop bhakti. and perfect our lives, then go back to this, as I said in the purport, the abode of Lord Shri Krishna, known as Goloka Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. So I finish there. Any questions or...
Thank you for the class, Prabhu. You're talking about the relationship with the spiritual master, and in one verse in Bhagavatam it says that we should act in great friendship to the spiritual master. Yeah. Could you maybe just expand on what that means, to act in friendship to the spiritual master?
Friendship also means sometimes friendship. Sometimes you One time I was in Ujjain. And Bhaktisu Maharaj, he called me to his room on top of the Brahmachari Ashram. He knows where it is. So I went in the room, and we generally, he was asking different questions, and he said, "Am I your friend?" He says, "The spiritual master is always the friend." He says, "Yes, sometimes this friend has to chastise you." Is that okay?
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Prabhupada is mentioning in this purport that according to Srila Jiva Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, there is one statement saying, the one situated in transcendence can reach the highest perfection of life without change of the body. So my question is, does it mean that in this body, as we are, that may be our swarup in a spiritual world? So we just purify our body to such a degree that it becomes transcendental or spiritual, and then we just enter our respectful abodes in the spiritual realm.
There is, there is an example of this in the Bhagavatam. Dhruva Maharaj. Yeah, and Narada Muni. Yes, so it could be, yes. Now, the examples is Narada Muni and Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva, he went to Vaikuntha in his same body. So the answer could be yes, yes.
Thank you for your class, Prabhu. Just in response to Samprabhu's question, one of the nine purposes of devotional services is acting in friendship for Krishna also. And I was wondering, we start in servant rasa, we start with, serving. So how come one of the nine processes is treat Krishna like your best friend? And so the answer, I think, maybe a couple of weeks ago was, tell him everything. You give him, because he's always going to be there for you, like Krishna's there in your heart. Similarly, the spiritual master is always with us, life after life, as Chaitya Guru. So in the same way, maybe a discussion point would be that we confide everything in our hearts, open our minds completely to that spiritual master. And that would be treating him as a best friend.
Yeah, that there as well, yeah. Yes, Ian.
Thank you. For those responses, it's really nice. Actually, in connection to that as well, I was reading something in the Bhagavad Gita, and someone was giving a commentary on it and saying how Krishna's relationship with Arjuna as a friend was the impetus by which Krishna was able to impart the knowledge to him after surrendering. So in the same sense, and you also mentioned it with chastisement, when Arjuna is saying, I can't fight Krishna smiles, but some commentary says that he
chastised him.
Yeah, he wanted to laugh and be like, haha, look at you, you know, as a friend. And but he changed the rasa because of how he was being approached.
Yeah.
So the friendship needs to be there in that sense, where you can confide in the person without feeling like you need to hide anything, as you would with an authority, for example.
Yeah, isn't it? Krishna says, why are you speaking like a fool? You know? Why are you speaking like a fool? So that's a friend as well. Sometimes, even the material world, we maybe before we joined, we have friends, even amongst us sometimes, with devotee friends. Sometimes, you know, he may say, you're just a fool, even though you've got that friendship there. Before I joined, I had a friend who was really honest. And sometimes I would make some blatant mistakes, you know? And he said, David, you're a complete idiot. He said, you're a wally. Everybody knows what that means. He said, you're a wally. You shouldn't have said that. Now, that's a true friend. So also the spiritual master, he said, when we're wallies in front of the spiritual master, he has to do that as well. And also, as Prabhu here said, that we should share things with him. And then he will sort out whatever the issue was or it was. Yeah. Projan, Mr. Peter.
Thanks, Dhanapala Devaprabhu. This friendship bit is very nice. It's a nectar instruction. It's loving exchanges, isn't it? We reveal our heart. But also, there's Prabhupada, he says... he says, I'm not your friend. He says, but I'm just telling you, I'm passing on a message that Krishna is your best friend. And so he says that's the real answer. He says, you have to understand that Krishna is your real friend. And I'm just passing on the message from him, that always remember that Krishna is your best friend. And in that way, I'm just revealing what Krishna says. So... it's like a simple message. I'm telling you that Krishna is your best friend, you know, Suhirtam. That's really it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Krishna is our best friend. And Krishna is our best friend. And so, any more? Thank you.